This morning's scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and in dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank my brother in Christ for sharing that word of truth that can be trusted. You know, I was so anxious and excited to get to the time of offering. You know, I think I missed something today, possibly. I heard it in both ears, and that's why I love being here. Because people come up to me and say, "You missed the Lord's Prayer." And I said, "I know. I'm familiar with it. I've said it before." But what I would like to do today, just so that we make sure and include the Lord's Prayer, and that you don't go away saying, "Boy, that guy was so anxious to get our offering. He just jumped right into it. That's all he was interested in today. I'm not going back there," is that we are going to offer the Lord's Prayer in our time of discipleship. And actually, there's been a prayer that I've been wanting to share with you for a while from Sir Francis Drake. He was an explorer, a sea captain, and it's a wonderful prayer that reminds us of how we are called to prepare our hearts and ourselves and our souls for the journey that God places us on. So if you will, I'll guide you through it towards the end of our time together, right at the end of the message and into our time of discipleship. But right now I'd like to have a prayer also. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day that you've given us, and we want to give you the praise. Thank you for how you are working. Thank you for how you continue to sustain and embolden and empower us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Timing is everything. Sometimes we show up at the wrong time. Sometimes we're right on time. For us, there are times, there are seasons in our lives when we feel like everything's on a roll. And we're experiencing God's grace and things are working out. And then there are other days or weeks or months or years where it seems like we're just walking through quicksand. You ever have that experience? Nothing seems to go right, one challenge after another. You know, there's a brother in Christ in this congregation that had one of those weeks, this past week, Walt Carlton. Within 4 days, he had 3 major surgeries in the hospital. Now, mind you, he went in for one. And Walt and I were talking the other day, and he said that doctors were lining up to perform another surgery on him whenever they needed to make a boat payment or something like that. So he had a sense of humor, at least, okay, about it all. But there was a carotid surgery, okay? Then there was a pacemaker, and then there was a bladder surgery. And he's doing remarkable. In fact, he's probably going to be coming home relatively soon. So he had a wonderful, wonderful attitude. And we can praise God for those surgeons and doctors and nurses, all of those that do that work all the time, each and every day. And they do it whenever we're not even thinking about them. Oftentimes, we think about medical professionals whenever we need them, obviously. And whenever our family member needs them. But we need to be grateful for their gifts and talents that they share. And again and again and again, we experience that grace. And I see it whenever I'm visiting in the hospital, whenever I'm talking to those folks about how they truly share God's healing touch. So whenever you see a doctor or a nurse or a medical professional or a social worker, case manager, somebody that works in the hospital, we have some folks right here in this congregation that fit into that category. Make sure and thank them, okay? Thank them for their good work. Being in God's timing, being in God's grace means, though, that whenever we go through those challenges, we're going to experience God moving in our lives. Might not be in a way that we expected. Might not be in the way that we planned. In fact, we might even argue with God or get frustrated with God. Can you imagine? Yes, I'm getting some amens from the amen corner. It's back there instead of out there this time, but it's back there. Yeah. And we lay it before God and we say, God, you know, this isn't what I planned. And God continues to be at work in our lives until we humble ourselves, till we truly open ourselves and allow Him to guide us. Believe me, following God's plan is always, always better than following our own agenda. God's plan was something that touched me and spoke to me this past week. Whenever I was considering what to share this morning, what to offer in the message, and there's a particular scripture passage that was read this morning by a brother in Christ, and he does a wonderful job. Grateful to Lee. It was a letter from Paul to the church at Corinth. Now, we have to understand that these were real people dealing with real problems, being challenged in a very real world way. Paul was a real person. The church was fledgling, it was starting, and yet it was meeting challenges. And for us, these are more than words, they're instruction. They're instruction directly from God for us to be able to follow. Whenever people look at this and look at these letters and they say, wow, this was an actual church, and they experienced troubles just like we do, there's a light bulb that goes on. Yeah. Exactly. That's why we say this is the living word, because it approaches us, it speaks to us, it's alive, and whenever we receive it and there's that aha moment of realization and revelation, then it's alive in us. And that's when God starts churning powerfully, changing us, enabling us to be able to follow His plan, even when we face great challenges in our lives. And that is what brings me to another scripture passage altogether. What was I talking to the kids about today and younger folks? Two rocks. Who did I mention? Okay. Some of you are with me. Who else? Goliath. Yeah. Whenever we say that, we kind of get lower in our voice, kind of clear in our throats. Goliath, because we think about this kind of large churning buck, and he's kind of walking around and strutting his stuff, and he's spewing and spitting, and he's got drool in his beard, and he's got sleep in his eyes, and you know, he doesn't wipe his mouth after he eats, and you know, he's got dirt underneath his nails. And okay, have I grossed you out enough? Yeah, okay. Efficiently enough. Great. Wonderful. You know, Goliath, we have that image though, right? Kind of like John the Baptist. We have these images of individuals in the Bible. Whether they're true or not, we have those images. And Goliath was a champion of the Philistines. That meant that he was kind of their standard bearer. He was their number one draft pick. He was their number one starter, their ace in the hole. He was the closer, man. He went out there whenever they needed to save that game, and he shut them down, and he was great. He took care of business. So Goliath is there, and there's a whole lot of saber rattling, and there's a whole lot of chants and insults that are going back and forth. In this time of battle, and in this era, you know, this was a nasty business just leading up to it. Now, the armies of the Philistines and Israelites, or the nation of Israel, I should say, were right there. And the armies were kind of across from each other. And there's insults and things that are being hurled back and forth. And the people of God were afraid, because they were up against a really violent, vile group of attackers and an army, and indeed up against Goliath. And I won't describe him again. I think you got the picture from before. So they're up against it. And of all things, there's a person that's chosen. Okay? It's a person that's chosen to go up against this task. And he had been equipped for the challenge. Remember what I was talking to you about earlier. When we allow ourselves to be filled by God's word, then God churns in us, fills us, and works in us. That means he's equipping us for the things that we're going to face. He's equipping us to be in his season, not simply to be about our own agenda, to be able to follow him. David had been being equipped by God for some years now. He was a shepherd. And a shepherd, we have this image, kind of somebody being out with a staff, out in the field, just kind of walking around, hanging out, sleeping, waking up, hanging out, just sort of tapping the sheep whenever he needs to, taking that staff, guiding them. But a shepherd had to be very well trained in defense, in protecting the flock, and being able to fight off wild animals that didn't play by any rules. And David had been doing this for a number of years now, and had become well trained in being able to use a sling. Not a slingshot like we have like right now. A sling more that you kind of swing over your head and you throw. Anybody use one of those here? Anybody ever use one of those? You use one? A couple people? Okay. Absolutely. Watch out for those folks then, okay? Because if you see them swinging things over their heads. But, you know, he was able to go ahead and aim that and throw that rock and defend it and hit it and pinpoint it right where he wanted. So you see, whenever he was equipped with what Saul thought he needed, armor, okay, he was weighed down. Have you ever seen a kid put on the shoes of his dad or mom, or her dad or mom, you know, kind of traipse around in? You know, they're really big, kind of oversized, they don't fit. I have that image of David, kind of traipsing, or okay, it's weighing him down, he can't even move, he can't even lift the sword, and he's going to forget this. Drops it all off, takes it all off, he's not going to use it. He's going to use what he knows. And he goes up, he picks up five smooth stones, picks up the stones that he knows will fly straight and sure, takes that sling, and takes the battle to Goliath. He'd been equipped for this. A lot of people in our mythology, in our society, have this image of David and Goliath stories, don't we? There's even a movie, a great movie, called Facing the Giants. I encourage you to watch it because it's about a coach who turns his life back to God, turns his life over to God, allows God to guide everything in his life, including the football team, the high school football team that he coaches, and things turn around in his life and amazing things take place against incredibly great obstacles. Okay, great movie to be able to watch. But David was equipped and had been prepared by God to face this giant in his life, to be able to face this challenge that was before him. And a lot was resting on his shoulders. A lot. I mean, the whole nation was counting on him. And if he hadn't won, a rout was on. It was over. And he goes up, runs up, slings one stone. He doesn't even need all five of them, does he? Goliath, down. And that's it. The leader of Compassion International, the founder, tells a story in his book about growing up in Africa and learning to use a slingshot. Now, the sling that he had, I think, was more what we think about the traditional slingshot. But he tells the story in this way. He says that he wasn't really surprised that David won, because he and the other boys growing up in that village had become so astute at using those slings that they could hit anything. They could find the just right rocks, and they could go ahead and hit whatever they were aiming at because they had been prepared. And they had worked at it and trained at it long enough. It became just second nature. For David, it became second nature. And it was all because God was preparing him for the challenges that await. In your life, in each of our lives, there have been difficult times. Times when we were wondering if God was still there. Things that had happened, that had taken place, that caused us to question God's presence. That caused us maybe even to cry out. And yet, we know that God never abandoned us, never left us. You might even be facing a challenge right now. You might be even going through something right now, and you're wondering where that presence is. And you're seeking to be open, but nothing seems to be happening. Don't believe it. God is always at work. God is always at work in our lives. We may not be open to God's timing, but if we humble ourselves, God will move us in the time that he ordains. In the scripture passage for today, see now is the acceptable time. See now is the day of salvation. David could never know truly that he was going to be put in that place, in that timing. But at that moment when he ran forward to meet the challenge, he knew God had prepared him, and he knew it was the acceptable time and indeed the day of salvation for the nation of Israel. Paul continues, though, in this scripture passage, doesn't he? He's not one of these pie-in-the-sky guys, not even close. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Okay, Paul, I'm not sure if I'm interested anymore. With that lineup, it continues. That's not the end of the story. Through those challenges, Through those challenges, we are able to grow. Through challenges, that's when we do grow. It's in the difficult moments in life, it's in going through the hardships, that is when God is at work most powerfully in our lives. It seems odd, and it smacks up against what the world would have you believe, that success, or when you seem to be attaining success or gathering things, that's when you're being blessed. No, you're being blessed when you're being deepened and encouraged, and when the churning of the holy presence of the Creator of the universe is at work in your very body and soul and mind and heart. The Creator of everything at work in you intimately and personally. After all those challenges, Paul continues, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. All of those blessings start coming forward. And those are the things that the world sees through us. That is our witness to a world that needs to be reminded of God's presence and love now more than ever. Whether you're facing a giant right now or not, whether you're going through the times of preparation to be able to face a giant down the road, God is with you in the battle. And when you are following God, the victory will be yours. Certainly, there are times in life when it doesn't seem very victorious. That's for sure. And yet we know, again, as Christians, that at the times that seem most darkest, at the time of death, in fact, that indeed is the power of God at work, because at that point, resurrection has taken place. At the seemingly darkest moment of life, at the greatest challenge, when death happens in this physical realm, as Christians, we know that's not the end. So I invite you right now to be open with me to God's presence moving in your life right now. If you're seeking to turn your life over to God in the name of Christ for the first time, praise God. If you're seeking a recommitment to God through Jesus Christ and by the power of His Holy Spirit right now, to just say, Lord, I offer it again, once again today, as I do every day or as I do every week or as I've done before, do so. God accepts that as a wonderful gift, as a wonderful, beautiful offering, because He loves you. God is preparing you. But are you in His time? Are you open to His movement in your life? I'd like to offer that prayer that I mentioned right now before we come into our time of discipleship. Then after our discipleship, we'll offer the Lord's Prayer as a symbol of our saying yes to God at work in our lives. Please join with me in prayer. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we have arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery. Where losing sight of the land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Please take these moments of silent prayer just to open yourselves to God at this time. Lord, what are you preparing us for? We don't know. Or maybe we have an idea. Whatever it may be, help us in your love for us to keep us open each and every day, just to recommit our lives again, to be able to follow where you lead, to be open to your grace and blessings in the journey. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for filling us once again today, preparing us for the challenges ahead, but also to be able to receive your blessing in our lives. We offer the words that were taught to us by our Savior when we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.